E aí, galera, tudo bom? Ó, antes da gente começar o podcast de hoje, eu quero falar um pouquinho da Galler. A Galler é a plataforma que os mestres Renzo, Rickson e Holly Gracie escolheram para ensinar jiu-jitsu online. Na Galler.com, você encontra os cursos que vão complementar o seu conhecimento. Por exemplo, a Rickson Academy é o único lugar do planeta que você consegue ir e aprender jiu-jitsu e defesa pessoal diretamente com o mestre Rickson Gracie. Tem aula semanal ao vivo, centenas de vídeos e outros conteúdos. Também é onde o mestre Holly Gracie ensina as técnicas que ele usou para vencer campeonato pelo mundo inteiro por mais de 30 anos. E na Galler você também encontra o grande mestre Renzo Gracie e a Renzo Gracie Online Academy, onde o próprio Renzo e mais de 70 instrutores convidados mostram técnicas, segredos, a maioria deles gravados direto do templo sagrado do jiu-jitsu, que é a Renzo Gracie Academy, aqui em Manhattan, em Nova York. Então, ó, fica ligado, www.galler.com. Galler é GALLER.com. Two, three, and that's it. We're going. How's it going, man? Frankie Edgar.
Doing well, man. I like that Renzo shirt you're wearing.
Hey, man, I'm Renzo Gracie. I'm right here in New York. I'm seeing them tomorrow, actually. I'm going to the city.
Awesome, man. Renzo's the best.
How's it going?
Everything's going good, man. Just, you know, last week of hard training, and I head out to Vegas soon.
So, we doing February 6th, right?
February 6th, yep. Corey Sanhagen.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a huge fight. I was kind of like taking a pick. That's you, number four, and Corey is the number two in the ranking. Hey, we got a good victory there, man. We got another title run, huh?
Yeah, man, I really do think this could be a number one contender fight, so I'm excited to go put on a show.
How do you feel on that? Because, like, I mean, I think he's on Marlon's spot. That Marlon was just number two like a few months back, right? And Marlon took a big loss to him, like unexpected. And then he took another loss on the, I forgot the kid's name, what's his name?
Hold on. Rob Font.
Yeah. Rob Font, yes. Oh, yeah, shit, Rob Font's number five now. I did a podcast with Rob Font like a week before Marlon fight, and he was number 10, and he was like all glad that Marlon took the fight to say, look, I only appreciate, very nice kid, and he put up a show there. Look, how is it looking for you in training camp, and how is it doing with the, it's not your first show with the COVID restrictions, and I chat with Master Ricardo a little bit before that too. How is the training over there? So he's like, it's reduced the number of people training. How did that impact you?
Yeah, you know, not too bad. You know, we kind of have a small team as it is.
Yeah,
that group. So, you know, things didn't really change too much. Obviously, little adjustments here and there. But luckily, I've been having, you know, Ricardo, Mark, you know, all my coaches I've been able to see on a regular basis. And like I said, our training partners, we kind of keep it small anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, everything's pretty much usual. And, you know, it's not so bad training during COVID because you don't have to go out to dinner. You don't have any parties. You don't have any distractions, you know.
Yeah, on that side is good.
Him and I come home. That's about it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. How far is Ricardo's from where you live?
It's about a 45-minute ride.
That's not bad.
In Jersey's a commuter state, man. We're all in the car a little bit.
Exactly. Unless you live in the city, like New York City, or I think Jersey, it's mostly kind of like that too, right? Like we always commuting. I used to work in Jersey, and it's like an hour up and an hour down. Unless you're driving more than 2 hours, we don't really consider like a long trip, right? Like kind of.
As long as I, yeah, most of my drives are at least an hour or less. So
yeah, not bad. Yeah, that's how it goes. Look, so we have an interesting thing here because we might have another fight with Aldo. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, if that lines up, you know, that would be great. You know, he's got two victories over me. I feel like our first fight was super close, could have went either way.
Yeah.
Second, he did get the best of me that time. And, yeah, you know, anytime you get a chance at redemption, you know, I'll jump at it. But, you know, first and foremost, man, I get a win over Corey, I think that puts me in a great spot for a title shot.
Oh, that's definitely do it. I was trying to think. Have you, what do you think about Peter Yan? Like, it's like a young guy, up and comer. I mean, I love the guy, but I don't see like anything like that is spectacular. And that's what's coming up with the newer guys, right? Like, they're good a little bit on everything. They're not great at anything. They just like very good levels on every aspect. How do you see Peter?
Yeah, I think he's super sound. Like you said, he doesn't really have any holes. I do think he has a pretty good sound technical boxing on his feet. He's a hard guy to take down. So I think the matchup against Aljamain is gonna show a lot. You know, Peter Yan, he did look good against Aldo too, mm-hmm. but Aldo some kind of hit or miss. You know, sometimes Aldo looks great, sometimes he looks a little flat.
Yeah,
I think that fight, he got tired some, and Peter Yan did a good job of putting him away. But Aljamain's going to give him a good test, and I think we're going to learn a lot about Peter Yan in that fight.
Yeah, I think with that fight with Aldo, it was his second fight coming down to this division, right? He came down and he fought Marlon right away. It was a tough fight. He's been cutting weight. I did a podcast with him, and he said he's been feeling great cutting down to this division. They got, I think, Dos Anjos is using the same nutritionist as Aldo now, and that lady, it's doing a miracle with this guy, is helping them to cut the weight and everything.
Aldo's a big guy, man. I was surprised when he said he was going down to 35. I was really wondering if it was going to hurt him. And I mean, against Marlon, that was a close fight. Peter Yan, he maybe didn't look the best I think I've seen him, but he did make the weight, and obviously the last fight against Marlon Vera, he looked great. So
yeah,
he's getting comfortable with the weight class, and he's a legend, man. So
exactly. I think the thing with Vera was kind of like more as a hype fight for him, right? Like we're from Brazil, so we were kind of like, oh shit, now he has to win that fight. Those fights are always hard, right? Like, because especially guys with big names like you and Aldo, you get put in a position like you're coming from a loss, and then you have a sort of a lighter guy in front of you, like, which was Marlon, right? Like, he's up on the ranks and not a threat on the top five or something like that. That's kind of what I'm trying to say. But puts you on a tough spot for a fight, right? Because you have to win.
Yeah, it does. You know, you're back against the wall, but sometimes, that brings the best out in guys. You know, back against the wall, and it's like you're a wounded tiger. You know, you got to find a way to win, and that's what he did. He looked good in that fight, got the takedown at the end. You know, controlled Marlon in that third round.
Why took you so long to finally come down? Because we always got the impression like you were a little bit smaller from the guys at the lightweight, even though you were a champion there. Why you never thought about coming down? You always felt good there. What was going on this decision?
I never wanted to go down just because first, when I went into the UFC, 55 was the lightest division, so I had no choice.
That's right.
Then when 45 came around, I was kind of even reluctant to go down because, I was a champion. I was beating everybody. Even at 45, I was definitely a smaller guy there, but I was successful, made the title fight quite a few times, came up short. But, I do feel like I compete with anybody in any weight class. I do feel that 35 is probably my natural weight. And, I'm probably not even the biggest guy at 35 anymore. So
it's getting crazy, right?
Guys, get better and better at cutting weight, and then they're getting more athletic, getting more technical. So I just think going down was just the right time. My coach has kind of been on me about it for a while, and after my last loss to Max, I was like, all right, I think now it's time to go down.
Yeah, I always thought like that fight with Max Holloway, I think it would be the same with Aldo. It's like I told Aldo that he was the only shaky moment we had on our podcast, because I say, look, I honestly think like if you fight with Max like 10 times, you're probably gonna lose like 8 of them, because it's so tough. It's a different body shape, the reach and just the pace, right? Like, he's so tall and like it looks like you're doing like 3 steps just while he's doing 1. It doesn't make sense what I'm trying to say. Like,
Max is a very tall, long guy, and Yeah, I mean it's hard enough to fight guys your size, never mind guys that are a lot bigger than you.
Exactly. And he's been putting up a clinic. This last fight he did was an amazing fight too.
Phenomenal, for sure.
I want to talk to you about your podcast too. Like, so how did that happen? And it's awesome to see it. I started this a few years back because there's almost no podcasts in Brazil, right? That's something super new over there. That's still like taking like baby steps and stuff. And I love how is it over here. You go on a podcast, the guy's like, oh shit, you should do a podcast. And people get excited. You have your own channel, your own voice. And it's like almost like a free speech kind of thing, right?
Yeah, no, you know, it's great. You know, me and my podcast partner, Roger Matthews, he's from the Jersey Shore fame. He was married to Jay Wow from the Jersey Shore show. And, you know, we go back. I've known him for a long time, and I just thought it was something cool we could do. It's called Champion and Tramp.
Yeah,
we do it, and it's fun. You know, it's not really we don't make money or anything. It's just something that we get to do, and I get to work on talking to people and interviewing people, and we have some great, interesting guests on our show. We just have a good time, man. So right now, it's something that I enjoy. Something that little leisure time.
It's like you kind of like take a break of everything. You put your mind on something else. So you have guests over, or you do like Skype things? How is it the?
Yeah, luckily we've had guests just come to my house. We haven't been set up for Skype yet, but or Skype or Zoom or anything like that. But we're gonna eventually get to that as well.
Uh-huh.
We've had Ricardo Marks, Eddie Alvarez, Mickey Gall, a bunch of different fighters, and even some artists and stuff like that, you know, so we kind of get a different range of people, and it's just fun. And but eventually I think we would like to do Spike or Skype or Zoom. I think that could broaden the guests that we have on.
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally different like rhythm on a show, right? Like I would love to do that stuff like with a guest right in front of me, but like we wouldn't be doing this right now. You know what I'm saying? Like it's so hard. And but it's definitely gonna like broad your reach. Like you can have a lot of people on and have like cool talk. Not necessarily MMA people. You can just do like a whatever, kind of like we've been doing, right? Like a variety show kind of thing.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, we've had photographers on. I had some YouTube personalities, some BMX guys on. So yeah, we got a nice array of guests on the show.
Yeah, that's awesome. Look, I have to ask. I'm good friends with Marlon too, but I was just peeking at the ranks over there. Marlon is number 7. What would happen if you guys are good friends, right? Like that. What would happen if you guys end up clashing? What?
Yeah, I won't fight Marlon.
You won't? Yeah.
And we're very close. We spent a lot of time throughout the years, and I'm at a point in my career where that's a fight I can avoid.
Yeah.
So there's no need for it for me.
Yeah, that's kind of what I heard. The same I heard from Gilbert Burns and Vicente Luque, because I was like, look, you were there at the title, kind of like where you guys at now, right? Like Marlon was super close, and now he's back a little bit. Now you're going up. And that's interesting. And that was another thing I wanted to know from you. Like, after this title run, what's next, do you think? Because, I mean, this is obviously a title run because it's so close that there's no way to not go for it, right? Especially now with, like, you come down, you get kind of, like, freshened up, right? Like, it's like, hey, let's fucking give it another shot.
Yeah, you know, coming down, it's like a new lease on life a little bit.
Yeah.
New opponents, new possibilities, and anytime I got into this sport, I wanted to be the best at whatever weight class I was in, and I was able to achieve that at lightweight, came very close to featherweight, and here I am trying to do it again here at bantamweight. It's just one fight at a time. You know, if I get that title, we'll try to defend it and take it from there. You know, I'm 39 years old, and as long as my body holds up, I'll do this as long as I can.
And I think you guys are the perfect weight class to be a little older, and it's a different pace, right? Like it's faster, But I don't think you're taking the same amount of punishment like a middleweight does. So it's kind of a different aspect. So how do you feel about those kind of like a super fight that people are trying to push up like these days in a UFC? Like not necessarily like let's say like Pettis, he wasn't there anymore, but that kind of fight, like big names only, no title runs kind of thing in your mind. Is that something you'd be interested in?
Yeah, you know, once you have a reputation of you know, or a big name against another big name, even if there's not a title on the line or title implications on the line, I think fans would be interested in that. And, you know, I always like to test myself against big names. And, you know, if there's a guy out there that people want to see me fight and the UFC's into it, I'm always game. You know, I'm a pretty easy guy. You know, usually the UFC calls and say, you want to fight this guy? Will you fight this guy? And I don't usually question. I just say yes.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. That's pretty awesome. Well, let's talk a little bit on this UFC from this past weekend, because you fought on that. You're actually a champion of that weight class. How did you see that? A couple of things. The debut from Michael Chandler and the main event with Poirier and Conor.
Yeah, you know, well, I've actually had Michael Chandler came out to get me ready for a fight a long time ago. Dustin Poirier also came out and, get me ready for a fight a while back. And so I know those guys pretty well, trained with them a bunch, and super good guys, very good fighters. And, I mean, you know, for Chandler, you can't ask for a better debut. Go out there and KO Hooker in the first round.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what he needed to do to kind of put himself in the mix. And now he's right in the mix to be one of the top guys. And then Dustin Poirier, man, you know, that was great redemption for him. Getting, you know, I'm sure his first fight against McGregor didn't sit well with him. So go out there and, you know, show his maturity. He really matured as a fighter emotionally, obviously physically, and mentally. You know, he went in there with the right mindset and got the job done. You know, Conor's a very good fighter. I think a lot of people overlook him because of his big mouth and whatnot, but he still is a very dangerous fighter. And, you know, Dustin got clipped a couple times in that first round, and, you know, he was able to weather the storm and get the job done. Dustin is definitely one of the best guys to do it, and it was good to see him get his hand raised.
I love how down-to-earth Conor is when he explains what happened and kind of stuff like that, right? It's kind of hard to see. And what you say, it was a big talk on this week. I think Ariel Helwani came up with something like that too. Saying people actually don't give Conor enough credit as a good fighter, right? And he's a fucking great fighter. I agree with you.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he's probably got some of the best stand-up. His left hand is might be the best left hand in MMA. You know, he hits you with that, you're going to go down. And, you know, he tagged Dustin a couple times too.
Yeah.
So, Dustin was lucky to make it to that second round. But, you know, Conor, he definitely does kind of show sometimes when things don't go his way, he tends to fold. And I think that's what we saw in the second round.
I think he got there's the kind of like a slang we used in Brazil. It's like, hey, I'm trying to translate it for you, but I don't think I'm gonna make justice to it. But it's kind of like, I think he got too excited. It's like, oh, so you want to trade? Let's fucking trade punches. And he had the bad leg already, right? Because he said like he took like four or five of those leg shots. And right. He didn't realize what was doing to his leg until the moment he was like, oh, shit, I can move. And
sometimes things aren't going to go your way in a fight, and you got to be able to adjust under fire or deal with some stuff. And, you know, I mean, you never know how bad his leg was or what he's going through, but he just couldn't get through it.
You got pretty close to a fight with him, right? Like there were some talks and you were calling for it. Whatever happened to that?
Yeah, you know, it's never materialized. You know, we at 45, we were supposed to fight at one time. And even at 55, he wanted me to, he mentioned my name, but the UFC just wasn't into it. So, you know, it didn't work out. And, you know, him at 55, me at 35 now, I'm sure that's probably not going to materialize.
Yeah, no, he can't even, I don't think he can even make 45 anymore, right? He won't even.
55 now, so I'm sure.
Yeah, he's really bulked up. Look, I wanted to do like a breakdown with you of a fight that means a lot to you. So if you have to pick a fight, which fight would that be? And we can watch just the first round or the last round, whatever round you want.
A fight of mine?
Yeah.
The Gray Maynard fights are always very big, obviously. The third fight, finishing with the knockout was something that's very special.
Okay, so hold on. I'm going to put that up, and we'll figure that out. Hold on. So I'm going to put the third round, right?
Fourth round.
Oh, please. Shit. Oh, yeah. Hold on. So I'm going to start right here at the end of the third round. We'll talk it over a little bit. And just break it down, like do the like comment things that were happening and stuff like that. UFC usually takes down. If I usually put it on a separate screen and everything. I do that with the jiu-jitsu guys and everything. Every time I do that with the UFC, they take the video down. But I find out that if I keep it on the TV, they won't catch it. So
okay. Hey. All right, there you go.
All right, so we got it.
Yeah, in this fight, I got rocked pretty good in the first round, just like in the second fight. So,
and everybody uses that as an example of the referee waited a little bit. But that was the fight with Frankie Edgar. Remember, if it stopped it too early, we were never gonna see the KO.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I'm. He obviously made the right decision. You know, that's how I feel.
Yeah. So we're going to the fourth round here.
Fourth round. Yeah, I felt like after the first round, second, third, I started coming on. I started definitely landing some shots, and I in the second fight, I didn't really remember much of the fight until afterwards. And this fight, I definitely had some cobwebs, but I came to a lot quicker. So by this point, I definitely had my wits about me.
Okay. That's pretty crazy how you guys managed to go on like autopilot for so long, right? Like it's
yeah. Luckily, I really listened to my team, my corners, and that's what I did. I zeroed on them and made sure listen to their instructions.
All right, so we'll start it.
Yeah, so, I felt like I was able to push the pace, as the fight went on. I definitely feel like Gray maybe was slowing down some, but he was a big guy,
That's what I was gonna say. Like he looked so big.
I couldn't just stand in front of him. I had to definitely use a lot of movement, keep him at bay. A lot of feints, obviously moving a lot. That's definitely something I do pretty much against everybody, but especially against these bigger guys.
And he looks like he's just waiting for you to get close.
Yeah, he's waiting for me to get close, looking for a big shot, So I kept making sure I was in and out, not standing in front, making sure I kept moving both ways, not just one way, trying to switch it up on him and feinting a lot, just kind of keep him guessing. But Gray he's a good fighter, man, especially during that time, right there going for some takedowns, keep him guessing. Not just constantly striking, always trying to mix it up. Yeah, right there, going for that takedown. Especially with Gray, the very first fight, he was able to take me down a bunch. So I knew, I had to stay, moving. So I wasn't a target that he could take me down with.
And you caught him right, a couple right, of times already.
Yeah, right there was pretty good. I felt like, I know I got him pretty good. You can see me coming forward more, trying to look for some more shots. And got me there after that uppercut. He got me pretty good too.
So do you feel like you were like 100% recovered from that first round?
Yeah, it is, 100%. Yeah, right there I was able to hit a nice 1-1-2. Nice good leg kick there.
Another one,
yeah, definitely starting to pour it on, I feel like, this round.
And it's crazy, right? Because on the
floor... right there, I just switched to southpaw.
Uh-huh.
And I believe I heard it. It's pretty soon. I think it's coming up. I would switch to southpaw a little bit to help me kind of exit when I after my strikes. Right there, got him backing up. Still looking for that takedown.
And you're putting the pressure on him. It's crazy, huh?
Yeah, definitely putting pressure, but not just constantly coming forward. Definitely, you know, little in and out, coming up on underneath. That's when I think I went southpaw. It's coming up soon. I know I went southpaw. I heard his coach say when he goes southpaw, throw a right hand. So that's when I went back to going southpaw because I wanted to throw that right hand, and that's when I went and shot on him. So I think it's coming up soon here. Yeah, right here.
Uh-huh.
So that right here, I'm going to shoot on his right hand.
Oh, there you go.
Right there. And then I come up with an uppercut. And that's what. And then right here, I just went for the kill. Right after right, kind of club punching him a little bit.
That's
the finish, but yeah, that was I got a great picture that's downstairs in my basement, from that fight where it's like the whole crowd going nuts and I got my hands up, and that was a special moment for me. You know, me and Gray definitely had some wars, and to be able to finish that with a knockout was awesome for sure.
That's one of the greatest fights, right? Like voted like multiple times one of the greatest fights of all time, or like. I don't remember, but like the fifth
greatest. Top five. It's top five. I think that the second one maybe. I don't know. I think it was the second one.
Yeah.
Was top five. One of the best fights in UFC history. But right there, I shot on that right hand. I snuck in a nice uppercut here, and that's what caught him off guard.
And that uppercut did not hurt him, just kind of like made him lose the balance, and you capitalize on that, right?
Yeah, you know, I think the fact that uppercut was super hard, it's just he didn't see it coming.
Yeah.
You know, I think those are the shots that usually rock is, the ones you don't see coming. If you see it coming, you could brace for it and usually handle a hard shot. But when you don't see it coming, and I've been on the other end of those as well. So.
Yeah, no shit. Yeah. This is awesome, man. This is awesome. Big fight. So what is let's go back to February 6th. So you got Corey. This is going to Brazil. So tell us about like how is the preparation? What like some tools and stuff that you think is going to bring you the victory on that fight.
Yeah, you know, I just got to be myself. You know, obviously I'm a pressure fighter. I'm an action fighter. I really don't kind of just sit back and wait. So I'm going to definitely take the fight to him, and he brings the fight to guys. He, even though he's a long guy, he likes to push forward too. So I think I'm not going to have to look for this guy. He's going to meet me in the middle.
Yeah.
And we're going to scrap. You know, he's an unorthodox striker, very, very tall and long. Which is kind of funny. I go down to 35 and I still fight a guy that's, you know, inches above me. But, he's very skinny front to back. So we'll see how his grappling and his wrestling skills are, which, he's definitely crafty there too. I've seen him in some, you know, some kind of scary positions, and he always finds a way to win. So, you know, I thought his fight with Marlon, was close in the first round, then Marlon just kind of got a little complacent in front of him.
Yeah.
And I know Marlon, he picks up kicks better than anybody I know. And I think he just got hit in the top of the head with that spinning heel kick. You know, his hand was up, but it was just the very top. You know, I think Marlon thought he was comfortable, which he usually is. And I just think that kick surprised Marlon a little bit. So, that's something we got to be aware of, those unorthodox spins and whatnot. But, I have some good guys in my team that can emulate that style, and we've been working on it this whole time.
Exactly. Well, you train with some of the best guys, right? Like you train with with our Brazilian friend that's Edson Barbosa, that kicks like an animal, right?
And yeah,
high kicks and spinning kicks.
Yeah, so, absolutely. He's like a walking weapon. Edson Barbosa.
Even Marlon has some awesome kicks too, right?
Yeah, he's one of the most explosive dudes in the UFC.
You guys talk often. I kept asking him and say like, so why'd you leave? He's like, man, he was too cold.
Yeah. His family, you know, I get it, man. Coming from Brazil, Jersey's a tough place to live, especially in the wintertime. Summer's great, but in the winter is tough. So, you know, and I feel like there's a lot more Brazilians down in Florida. So him and his family felt more comfortable. And we understand. Yeah. But yeah, we still talk to Marlon on a weekly basis. We go back and forth on Instagram and texting, you know. So he's a friend for life, and
he's an awesome guy.
Yeah, we miss him up here, and I'm sure we'll link up again for training in the future for sure.
Oh yeah, for sure. So look, I put some questions up on our page on Instagram. I'm just gonna do a quick selection here. There's a page that's called the UFC Day. He's like, ask the champ if it ever wanted to fight in Brazil.
Yeah, I mean, you know, fighting overseas is tough. It's not easy. I have fought overseas quite a bit. I fought up in Canada, which isn't too overseas, but Canada, I fought in Abu Dhabi, Philippines.
Those two are brutal flights, right?
Yeah, Japan and then South Korea. So
holy shit.
I have been to Brazil multiple times. Actually, with Marlon, Corner Marlon. I've been to Fortaleza, Curitiba, and Rio.
I see. There's a picture of you and Ricardo at the Maracanã Stadium.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
you had your belt there and everything. It was awesome.
Yeah, and so yeah, I mean, I love Brazil. The people are amazing. The food's amazing. So. Yeah, I wouldn't mind going down there again. I'd rather go down for leisure than for a fight.
Yeah, no shit, right? Especially with that, ooh, vai morrer. people chant over that just like it's a soccer game. People say it's so they asking us about the Gray Maynard fight. They asking about the second fight. What do you remember from that second fight? I think you say you don't remember much, right?
Yeah, I don't remember much. You know what I remember? I do remember coming to, I think, the fourth round. In the first round when I got dropped, I twisted I sprained my ankle, like, very badly. Mm. And I remember in the fourth round, I'm moving around, and I'm like, why does my ankle hurt? I had no idea why my ankle hurt.
Wow.
And that's kind of when I started coming to. And also going into the fifth round, I remember Marco Ricardo saying, we have one more round. I'm like, in my head, I'm going, what happened to rounds two and three? I don't remember.
Holy shit. Do you think it's like because of the amount of punches you took, or it's a mix with like being super excited? It like things are like red flags all over the place.
Yeah, I think it was definitely the head trauma.
Holy shit. That's scary. Ask him the Notorious Lewis. he's like, ask him what do you think about Davison Figueiredo? That's one division lower.
It's, right, right.
Flyweight, right?
Right. Yep. Yeah. No. I mean, he's been on a tear. He looks very good. He's big. He's a big 25er. And I think that size is it helps him out a lot there. He's been super impressive in his fights. I was looking forward to him versus, you know, Cody Garbrandt. Cody's been training with us here a little bit as well. And obviously, you know, Cody got hurt and sick and whatnot. So I'm hoping they book that fight again in the future. And I think that'll be, a really big fight for both guys.
For both guys, especially. And Cody might have – Cody boxes is so sharp. He might have the answer for the big Davison that we got to see that. What's going on with Corey? Does he have another fight coming or?
No, I think he's still, you know, because I believe Figueroa, he's fighting, he's booked to fight, I believe, right?
I'm not sure. He just fought, right? He's going to have to fight that Brandon Moreno kid again because they tied last fight.
Yeah. So I think they're going to rebook that. And, yeah. Cody, instead of waiting, I think Cody has been calling out Jose. So That could be a great fight for those guys too.
That's a great fight too. That is a great fight. And this is my question. What about Henry Cejudo? You think he's ever coming back?
I do think he'll come back eventually. You know, I don't know why you want to walk away at the top, you know, in your prime. You're finally making some decent money. You know, why walk away?
Right. And I thought it was just like a big push for more money that Dana White kind of didn't buy it, right? It's like,
yeah, it might be. And, you know,
if you don't give me a raise, I'm going to walk away. It's like, all right, see you, kid.
Yeah, especially after creating this, you know, crazy character that he's got going on. You make people hate you for no reason.
No shit, right? Like, yeah, I think it's a little, that's his coach, Eric, that he does that to people. So hold on. But I also think he's gonna come back, and I just think it's a waste because he's gonna waste a year of good training, strong training. He might not even come back the same. It's tough, right?
It's tough. You know, if you take too much time out of the sport, you're right. You might not be the same person when you come back.
Let me see. This is a good, and I told you, like, he always comes based on that fight with Gray Maynard. That he said, like, today, nowadays, you see the referee stopping the fight even before the knockout. Like, it just happened with Amanda Ribas, the girl, the Brazilian girl. They opened the pay-per-view card.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think Herb Dean kind of like made a little whoops there. Like, he really looked he was going to stop the fight. He didn't, and the girls thought he did. I think Marina actually walked away, like, kind of
right.
Like, and he's like, oh, all right, still up, okay. And then, like, she did a couple more punches. He didn't even wait for Amanda to come down, and he stopped the fight. Do you think they have to wait, or it's like, you can see it's not going anywhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know,
without cutting you, then we have your fight.
It's tough. You know, every fight's different case to case. But look at Calvin Kattar and Max Holloway. You know, they didn't stop that fight. I think they could have stopped that fight in the third round, fourth round, maybe fifth round. You know, there's just a lot of times in that fight where they could have kept it. You know, could have stopped it.
Yeah.
And they didn't. And
I thought you can even make an argument for like a late second round stoppage if you want.
Right,
if you want to steer the shit, you could have stopped that before the third round.
Right,
definitely on the third round, nobody was going to complain about it. Just Calvin.
Yeah.
Calvin would.
Yeah,
but
But I mean, even Calvin may not have, you know, because he took some punishment that fight, you know, and you never know. Some people don't bounce back from that.
How do you feel at 61 kilos? Which is
and I feel great. You know, I'm very disciplined in my diet. You know, I follow my nutritionist plan, and honestly, it's pretty much like making 45. You know, at 45, I didn't have to be as disciplined. I really didn't diet as, you know, early out. This time, my diet, you know, I start 8 weeks out. I cut out all the bad stuff, and it's pretty. I don't want to say it's easy because, you know, nothing cutting weight is never easy. If you could be 2 pounds or 1 pound, it always sucks. But I feel good. That's my training doesn't get affected. Fight week is pretty much the same.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think most guys are kind of coming to this sense now, right? Like, you have to feel good on fight day because that thing about cutting 20 pounds and getting there, if you're not 100%, you're losing already. Like I think everybody's so athletic today that's what's going on. You look at this 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you had part-time athletes, right? Like not necessarily guys made, that was very, very like a handful of guys that actually made a living out of this. Today you have like a lot more guys that are like complete athletes. And I think that's what's bringing the level up. You agree with that?
Yeah, no, 100%. You know, guys are just much more athletic. They've been training since they were kids. In all aspects, guys are just getting better. And even they're getting better nutrition and dieting and figuring out ways to make sure that they're healthy. So yeah, this sport is just, you know, growing so much in the past, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's, I had this conversation with the jiu-jitsu guy the other day, and we were talking about that. I said, look, the jiu-jitsu, you have athletes now, but 20 years ago, you just got a bunch of tough guys competing on the world championships and stuff like that. Right. They were not necessarily athletes. They were just like professors and masters and stuff like that, not a guy who had like a healthy life. And I think we seem the same on a different level on the UFC, because you have like you're saying, like professional athletes now, like the guys will last forever. Yeah. And everything is monitored. You have rings that monitor your sleeping and stuff like that. Yeah, right.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely.
So that question about the 61 kilos was from Victor. Now Pedro Harry, I think. Harry, it's funny because it's not what I mean in English. What is the toughest guy you ever fought?
Toughest guy. I mean, it's tough for me to say toughest guy, but say Holloway.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a list of tough guy. Holloway, Aldo, and Benson Henderson, I'd say.
Holy shit. Oh, yes. Benson Henderson. He's in Bellator, right? He was flying on your time there, right?
Yeah. He's very big, very big 55er. We had some pretty good battles.
And if we have to make a GOAT list, I'll pick like any weight division, your top five GOAT. I asked the same to GSP when he came to the – this is something like we always do it on the podcast. Like we get the top five. But then you can do any time. Doesn't have to be guys fighting now. Is that your top five? Five guys you actually look up to.
Well, I would say, I mean, I don't necessarily say I look up to them. I mean, I look up to all these guys, man. My peers, you know, I'm always impressed by the heart these guys show. But Khabib Nurmagomedov is always on the top of that list. George St. Pierre is always on the top of that list.
You ever train with them?
Yeah, I've trained with both of them guys in the past. Yeah.
Khabib is as tough as everybody. I think it's funny because I go to Hanzo a lot, right? And one day I saw Khabib there, and I don't remember. I think I asked Neiman or Hobson, and I was like, "Is it all that people actually say? Like, is he that good?" And they both go like, "Oh fuck yeah, he's that good." Like,
yeah, he's that good. I mean, you see what he does to guys. It's really. I don't think you've seen him in a close fight, not as of recent, especially. So, yeah, he's definitely top dog to me. You know, George St. Pierre is always a top dog to me. And then, you know, Anderson Silva, what he did in his career, I think he's got to be considered a top dog.
Yeah.
And then John Jones, you know, I think John Jones, if you take away all the outside of the cage stuff, he would probably be the best there is.
Yeah, which we should, right? Like, I mean... He's not. He might not be a role model, but he's a great athlete.
Athlete, great fighter. He shows heart. He shows guts. He shows, you know, technical ability, athletic ability. He shows it all.
So, what do you think he's moving up to the heavyweight?
Yeah.
Oh, we're getting. I got a little.
Well, I see they just booked Frankie Jones will fit in that.
Frankie, we got cut off badly. Still going.
Sure.
I'm gonna ask you to say again because I did not hear a thing. It was just like cutting all over the place. I'm sorry.
Okay.
What? Yeah.
No. I believe they just set up Stipe and Francis. So I'm wondering how they're gonna fit John Jones in that, but. I can't wait to see him fight either one of those guys.
Yeah, I think a first great fight for him will be like Alistair Overeem, kind of, you know?
Oh, yeah, that would be, yeah. Right, he's like actually fighting the same night I am.
Yes.
The main event of my night. So, yeah, maybe he fights the winner of those guys. Yeah, that would be – I don't know if they – I believe they probably trained together in the past too. I think they had a beef.
I don't think they had a beef. I think there was a beef with another heavyweight from Jackson's. That they end up fighting or something. That it was something to that. But I think that would be they cannot give like Stipe right away to Jones. I think it's too much to handle on the first fight. He needs to. just kind of like get his feet wet a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a different type of punch.
Yeah, it is. And but I think he put a lot of weight on too, so I'm excited to see what he looks like at heavyweight.
And with this thing with Adesanya coming going up to 205, and he's gonna fight for the title with Jan Błachowicz. What do you think of that fight? And do you think if Adesanya wins that, John Jones comes down for that super fight?
I mean, I don't know. They've been kind of barking at each other for a while, and you go there. If Adesanya goes and takes John Jones' belt and starts talking a bunch of trash, I can see John Jones want to come back down for sure.
And now, do you think Adesanya gets it done against Błachowicz?
I don't know. I don't think you could just say it's going to happen. You know, he's definitely a smaller guy. You know, Jan hits like a truck. But Adesanya, he's special. He's one of the special ones out there. So, yeah, that's going to tell us a lot. And, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I feel that if Dominic Reyes had won that fight, it would be a tougher fight for Adesanya. Błachowicz is more like the heavy puncher guy. It's not like he's not technical. I don't think he's as technical as Dominic, right? So he's more like on a heavy, on a bulky way. And I think that's perfect for Adesanya. He's gonna move well.
Yeah, Adesanya definitely very technical, very very precise, and his striking is very, very good. He's fun to watch, man.
We saw what he did with Paulo Costa is my personal friend, and we all saw what happens there. I was convinced that Paulo was gonna win that fight. I was like, oh, he's gonna knock his head out of the octagon. And but that's why MMA is so cool. You never know what the fuck is gonna happen.
You really never know, man. That's why I don't bet. So I don't bet fights.
You know? I don't either.
Buddies asking me all the time, and I'm like, man, I don't know.
Don't do it. The only fight I ever bet, it was John Jones against Thiago Santos, the Marreta, because I think he was like 10-1. And I was like, holy shit, they don't know who this fucking guy is. If he connects one good punch, Jones is going to go down. And I don't think people realize that.
He almost won that fight, too.
And he almost fucking, with no legs.
Split decision, right? Yeah.
He said he won on a split decision. He lost on a split decision, split knees. Yeah. Everything was split on that fight. And I think I put like $500 to it. I was gonna make like $5,000. I was like,
sometimes when the scale weighs that way, you gotta make that change.
No shit. Look, Jones putting all, I think he's 250 pounds right now. How easy it is to come down to back to 205? Like, because he's putting a lot of muscles too, right? Like, and from an athlete, like a professional point of view, what goes down for that type of weight cut back? Do you think I have a guy? He's a journalist from Brazil. He lives in Vegas. I don't know if you know him. He's a big guy with a giant beard. He has its own news agency. It's called AG Fight, and he does the podcast with me every Monday, and he say, look, I don't think Jones will ever make a back to 205. He's getting so big.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's tough being, you know, I have a hard time putting any weight on. So for Jones, it depends on how he puts it on. He does have some skinny legs, you know, if he put it, you know, so, you know, I don't know if he has naturally, he's at 205 or what, but, yeah, I imagine once you get too big, and if he really does want to make a serious run at heavyweight, I'm sure he's packing on the weight and then not thinking about going back to 205.
Yeah, yeah, but I think if Adesanya gets that belt, they're gonna rethink that really quick, because it's gonna be.
I'm sure.
I think it has the potential to be like one of the greatest fights, or like pay-per-view numbers and everything like that. Because I think people got the best statement I heard. I think it was from Chael Sonnen saying John Jones needs a loss just so people get kind of like going with him again, because we got kind of like so
used to him win, that kind of got boring, you know? It's like, and it hurts the numbers. It hurts him because he doesn't have the fire going again, you know? And I think Chael say like, hey, he needs a loss because people are going to want to see him win again. And I think he will have the fire to win again. So we figured that out. He's going up looking for new challenges. Just kind of like you going down looking for new challenges, isn't that right? Like it feels like a refreshing, like let's start this over. Push reset and let's see what happens.
Yeah. It's like a blank canvas. I got a blank canvas in front of me, and I'm sure that's what John's looking at as well. Yeah,
that's awesome, man. Look, I'll let you go. It's late. I appreciate this a lot. Thank you so much. I don't think anyone in Brazil ever did something like that with you and I appreciate the trust and the time. I'm gonna take a couple of days. I'm gonna put some subtitles on, and this goes live next week. And I hope people enjoy it. They need to know you guys better.
Send me a link. Yeah, you got it, Alfiel. Great talking to you, my friend.
Hey, I'll send you the links and I'll send you everything, and we'll stay in touch. Hey, good luck. I'm cheering for you, and we'll go there and get it done.
Thank you, brother. Ciao. Boa noite.
Hey, thanks, man. Boa noite. Thanks, Frank.